time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, 1, 2, 1, 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation.
The podcast.
Yeah, back again. Word. What's good, man? What's popping with you?
I'm alive. And corona free.
Are you sure?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
I ain't got the cough or the sneeze or the or the stuffy lungs. Somebody sent me a inbox. You know how when this type of shit going on, everybody got a friend or a family member that work at the CDC, FDA,
Connect.
Some blase skip. And they were saying, the message was saying they had a cousin that worked at the CDC and that was warning people that, you know, now listen, this is not no official.
It's from the CDC.
No, listen, this is not from the real CDC. This is from a homeboy connect with the cousin at the CDC per se. Maybe I don't know if it's a chain mail or not.
Okay, though.
So don't be, you know what I'm saying, running out there saying, Mr. Muhammad said.
From the CDC.
The CDC has said.
Okay.
This ain't it. My man Steve has said.
This is a BBC from the CDC.
This is a
BCC.
This is a BCC from the BBC. But the gist of the email, the message was that a lot of people, by the time they are tested positive for the corona, that the infection has already infiltrated the lungs by 50%. Nah, it's over. But by the time you notice it, your lungs is already 50% with the fibrosis or whatever the fuck. And they would say that would be too late. So
it's over.
So I don't know if it's over. Everybody ain't dying from the shit.
Too late? Sound like it's over. Well, when you tell a motherfucker it's too late, that means go get comfortable because it's a wrap.
Right. Well, basically, they were saying that in order to check your lungs prior to any other symptoms, you know what I'm saying, you can hold your breath for 10 seconds.
All right.
And if you're able to hold your breath, then your lungs should be cool.
Saying. You want to do this shit on the
pod? Supposed to be like an early detection. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I've done tried it. I tried every 15 minutes. We straight. So, and then another thing they were saying that if you complete it successfully without coughing, without discomfort, stuffiness, or tightness, it proves there is no fibrosis in the lungs, basically indicating no infection. Again, this is not real shit that I have confirmed. This is just, you know, speculative
self-diagnosis. Information.
Yeah, this Reddit self-diagnosis. In critical times, please self-check every morning. Blah, 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 blah. Serious advice. Everyone should ensure your mouth and throat is moist, never dry. Take a few sips of water every 15 minutes at least. Why? Even if the virus gets into your mouth, drinking water or other liquids will wash them down through your esophagus into the stomach. Once there in the tummy, your stomach acid will kill the virus per se.
Piss it on out.
If you don't drink enough water regularly, the virus can enter your windpipes and into the lungs, and that's very dangerous. Anyway, so that is
coronavirus 101.
Sidewalk 101. Please do not take this as an official advice.
Hey.
But, you know, just to be safe.
You know, some info. Wash your hands still.
Wash your hands. Drink water.
Yeah. Keep people at arm's length.
Mind your business.
I saw a thing.
And hold your breath.
Yeah. And hold your breath for 10 seconds just to see where you at with it. If anything, if you start gasping, go to the city MD or something.
Yeah.
But then you're definitely going to get it in the waiting room. Because that's the thing. I was thinking, like, I want to go check it out. But I feel like if you go to the waiting room.
Go check it out to what?
Check yourself out? I'm making sure I'm good.
You had any symptoms?
I didn't really have no symptoms. I'm actually going on some checkup shit because it's around that time. You know what I mean? But then I'm kind of low. I don't know if I really want to show up to a doctor's office because this is the height of the hysteria. You know. They said 133 people died from the coronavirus in one day in Italy.
Italy seemed like they got it bad.
In one day. That's like.
But they probably got a lot of old population.
I guess that's like mass shooter numbers. Yeah, man. In one day,
they shutting the They shut their whole shit down.
Did they?
Yeah, they quarantined the city, the country.
It's interesting how this is advancing just from week to week. It's, you know, this shit. I mean, this is how epidemic goes, right? But damn, I mean, it's significant gains. This shit is.
I mean, that's why this is a variation. But you know what I'm saying.
Shout out to Westchester. It's tough up there.
Yeah, they got a quarantine too.
Yeah.
They shutting down. They got a 1 mile radius.
That you can't go?
You can't leave out.
Really? I'm curious where that shit is. I'm going to look that up.
And New Rochelle.
I got family out there.
Yeah, you might want
to. Y'all be safe. You
might want to check on them via satellite.
FaceTime,
player. Yeah, they send in the National Guard. They say to, you know, pass supplies to people, as you know what I'm saying, you're being locked in your own house so you can eat. But you know what that is. That's so your ass can't leave.
Stay your ass in the house. You know what I'm saying?
That's that same shit they sent to New Orleans for Katrina.
It's different.
How?
I mean, shit.
Don't leave, motherfucker. I see you drowning. Don't bring your ass on out here, man.
Yeah, but it's different.
What's different?
A bunch of water coming into your residence that you got to fight against, outside of staying in the crib with this cold and
Way, it's somebody telling you you can't leave.
There's a quarantine. Well, there's a difference in a quarantine and a stay your ass in the house because we want you to die. A quarantine is
your ass in the house, and if you die,
if you die, but we want, this is your best bet. This is your best bet, but where I'm telling you, look, if your shit about to be flooded, I'm telling you to stay in the crib that's impending.
Yeah, that is terrible.
That's worse.
That is terrible. This shit is, you know what I'm saying? Stay your ass. Don't bring that shit out here.
Not it's like square.
Like CeeLo say, goody mouth. You know what I'm saying? I wonder if that wall was to keep the crime out or keep IS in.
Yeah, it's always, you know.
But, you know, saying all this talk, you know, saying leads to the hysteria where you see people on the internet fighting over toilet paper.
Oh, that's how they doing right
now. But why toilet paper? Like, why toilet paper, though?
Gotta shit.
I mean, but what that ain't going to save you. you know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, but that's always seems like this. That's on the list.
Like, toilet paper, like, that's going to save you?
No, but people, I think people feel some comfort in that. People feel some comfort in the end of days. Because end of days, extreme times come to extreme measures.
Yeah, I'm going to wipe my ass. Fuck all that Lysol.
You want to wipe your ass with dignity. You know, at least week two. You still want to be all right. You know what I mean? You don't want to be straight, just raw hand.
Where you at? Would you have to be raw hand?
What you gonna use?
Ass in the shower and in the tub. Wipe your ass with a washcloth. Clean yourself.
I don't know about that.
What soap around. And water is for. Yeah, that's more effective than the Charmin.
No.
Crazy. You take a bath or wipe your ass with some Charmin.
You could do both, but what I'm saying is first line of, you know.
Yeah, first line, but if it's the end of days and I'm fighting over something, it ain't finna be toilet paper.
What you fighting over end of days?
Water. You know what I'm saying? Food. Wi-Fi connect.
You know what Let's saying? Be honest. Yeah,
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shit.
Streaming. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
Nah, go ahead.
No, what you about to say?
Nah, man. And then my homeboy called. Mm-hmm. He called with the doomsday conversation.
All right, what's the doomsday conversation?
You know, it's always the doomsday. It's like, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's white boys that's already prepared. And they got guns and they got bullets. And you know what I'm saying? If it come down to it and it's a fight for food, you know what I'm saying? They ready. They've been preparing for this shit.
Mm.
What you going to do? I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know what I would
figure
do.
It out.
You know what I'm saying? Like, doomsday comes and there's nothing out here. What is we doing?
Yeah, I don't really plan for doomsday. I'm not on that level.
What he was saying was the supply chains get cut off.
Yeah.
Food don't get to the stores. You can't get no food. What you going to do?
Well, I was just in Walmart last week, and I feel like I'm prepared for doomsday if it happened within the next week and a half. I think I got enough staples.
And last for how many days?
I mean, I make it to the end of March. I got a bag of whiting in there that you know that I'll thaw out. You know what I mean? I got some canned goods. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't shit. Honestly, dude, I don't think about you know what? I'll be all right on other shit. I won't have all the water that I need. I won't have that much toilet paper, even though I do have a nice little stockpile of toilet paper. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I keep the bullshit. You know, I'm an order, so I got like old bottles of lotion from good hotels or shit right, like that.
You'll be good after washing your hands.
I'll be good repeatedly. My shit'll be cool. I won't be ashy. You know what I mean? I might have been dead 3 days, but you wouldn't know. Like, this motherfucker looked like he was ready to go to the club. This motherfucker is moisturized. But I don't know. I got to think about the doomsday situations.
It's a strange thing to have to think about. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, once it's chaos, you know what I'm saying? A lot of your planning is going to go out of the window after a few.
Because you're going to be panicked.
You're going to run out of that water, whatever you save, unless you got a well or some shit. Mm. You know?
You're going to be asked out.
You're going to be asked out after a while. So it's like, what else you going to do? You got to rely on your personality and charm.
Whatever. Either that or just your wild out. Just go out there and surrender to the wild out.
Yeah,
just go
surrender to the wild out. Looping. But then you got to, shit, how much bullets you got?
If you ain't got no bullets, you better be bulletproof. Or you better know how to duck behind a car.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, shit, man.
Yeah, man.
I got a neighbor. He owned that shit. He been on it. He was like,
he's been set up.
I mean, I don't know how much set up he is, but he been talking to me, trying to shoot these doomsday preparedness videos, mm-hmm. where he was teaching himself how to camp and survive in the wilderness.
You know, I see a few of those type of videos on YouTube and shit.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's my neighbor, and you know, he telling me this. I'm like, fuck it, I'll shoot it.
But he going through drills and shit?
That's what he say. Like, he go up on the weekends, and you know what I'm saying? Him and his kids, they just sleep in the woods and fucking make a fire.
You know what I'm saying?
I was with it, you know what I'm saying? But I think he was more so trying to convince me that this was... He was like somebody who tells a lot of people this, and they like, man, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
He assumed that was my position. That wasn't my position. I shoot whatever. I don't care. Like, shit, I shoot any old kind of shit. But it's like, I think he was more interested in telling me what it was and the threat than he was about actually shooting the shit.
Mm. He wanted to let you know he had a plan.
Right. And that, you know what I'm saying, he ain't tripping. I bet if I see him now, he probably in the woods. But if I see him now, he'll probably be like, yeah, see.
Yeah.
It's on the way, motherfucker.
It's that thin line. Because it's either you're ultimately prepared or you look crazy. You know, because if the end of the world come, mm-hmm. you like, I told you, motherfuckers. But if it's if it's just Wednesday... and everything's the same, and you in your lawn in the backyard doing barrel rolls, and you fucking tucking, you know what I mean, little Capri Sun size bags of water under the tree somewhere. You look a little odd, at least to say the least. You look a little odd. It's one of them things, but I guess it's what they say. You better get ready. You gotta if you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready. You know, you look odd when you go. You know, you go to the store and you buy about 10 condolence cards. It look a little crazy, but you just prepare yourself because people die. You know, you just keep going back and forth to the store. So you just keep them on deck.
That's your doomsday preparation.
Hey,
sorry for your loss.
You know what I mean?
Sorry for your loss. You just passing them out.
If you
like, where the fuck did you get this card?
Papyrus went out of business. Them shits was way cheap.
On deck.
You know, Papyrus went out of business too. They were selling cards for 25 cents from the $8 card to about 25 cents.
The shit that I'm about to stock up on is some flights.
Yeah, I've been seeing that. I've been hearing actually.
I've been looking them up. Shit, I looked them up.
Is it significant?
It's significant. I just came off a $500 flight this weekend that I paid for. You know what I'm saying?
Was that a significant drop than what you paid
for?
No,
this was what I paid fucking last week.
How much is it now?
$86, $126.
Round trip?
Round trip, nigga. It's crazy out here, man.
You got to fly during this coronavirus time? Like, what's the...
Well,
like,
shit, you could look for flights in advance. I looked for some flights in advance. I'm like, oh, shit.
Them shit's still $86.
That shit was $100-something dollars. I was going a further distance. I looked at some spring break flights to Miami. And I'm like, oh, shit.
That's interesting.
I might have to cop. Just on a, you know what I'm saying, speculative side of things, like speculating and shit.
But nobody really, you know what it is though? You also got to get on the flight with all them other people that
bought. I just got off the flight.
And there's a lot of coughing. So I think that's why shit is cheap. Because it's a lot of close quarters.
A lot of people don't want to fly.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But shit's still happening.
Yeah.
Business still happening.
I guess if you're willing to risk it, that's why they making it cheap, because they like, look, you got a higher chance of catching that corona if you jump on this shuttle to Atlanta.
Hey, they ain't sent nobody caught it off a flight yet.
Where they catching it?
The cruise ship.
Everybody just jumped
the
on
hunting, the whatever the motherfucker, only motherfucker. I mean, I don't know. Shit, it's not coming from China. I'm going to Atlanta.
I got a newsletter from a venue with some performers, and they were like, hey, as much as you want to come up to these performers and let them know how much you enjoy what they do and everything like that, be okay if they just give you some elbow bumps and keep their distance. I thought that shit was hilarious, though.
The black man dap game is in full effect. You know what I'm saying? The alternative daps, the improv dap is in full effect. You've seen all the variations.
What you going with?
I mean, I'm just going with the, you know, shooting the yo for most people. I'm just, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm just shooting the head nod and keep it moving.
No,
but
contact.
I wasn't even really thinking about it like that, really, until I ran into my homeboy yesterday. And he was coming up the block. I hadn't seen him in a minute. And we came up in close quarters. And you know what I'm saying? I went for the you know what I'm saying, the handshake, you know what I'm saying? He balled the fist, and you know, you had to, you know, improvise the dap.
Mm.
And then it was like not even a fist dap, it was a, you know, mid
it was a block.
It was a mid forearm dap.
Stay your ass over there.
Like, it wasn't even an elbow, it wasn't a fist, it was like a mid forearm. And, you know, as a black person, you are used to improvising the dap in midstream, because you never know what the other guy is going to come with.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready to come with whatever dap is appropriate for whoever you dapping with.
It's fluid.
Yeah, it's fluid. And we're used to that. Like, you know what I'm saying? That is a common thread. We've practiced. We've already experienced. We're experienced in keeping your hand sanitation to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Especially, you know, we really focused on keep it with your right, bump up with the left. You know what I'm saying? Fists, shoulders, elbows. You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Kicks. Cats is doing a little kid and play.
That's
I said
Chinese. That was the Chinese improv.
Is that where that kicked off?
It was like two Chinese guys doing it.
I've seen it in practice.
Somebody did it in the street.
Yeah. Somebody did it. White guy.
Okay.
You know. And don't feel offended if they hit you with the alternate dap. This is not the time to catch feelings. This is also not the time to catch coronavirus.
Yeah, the alternate dap is part of our culture. So that's not even a thing. You know what I'm saying? That's not even something that you feel some type of way about. That's just common nature.
Yeah. You just got to move with the times. A lot of people are rewatching Contagion in particular, just to kind of
build a hysteria.
Either build the hysteria or maybe even build their plan. Back to whole, you know, your little doomsday plan. Maybe they want to see what worked in the films. But that shit has been going crazy. There's been a bunch of like pieces about how people have been rewatching Contagion and how what you can learn from watching Contagion and all of that type
of
shit.
What did you learn?
I didn't watch it yet.
I mean,
I learned that it's not streaming for free. You said what?
What did you learn from the thread?
That's what I learned. I was about to rewatch it, but it's not really playing anywhere unless you rent it. I might rent it maybe later on just to see, you know, just to jump into it. I haven't seen it in a minute.
What about Outbreak?
Similar type of thing. similar type of, you know what it is.
Is that streaming for free?
I don't know. I didn't go and look. You could, you know, figure that out.
You could do it for yourself, motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you guys yeah, can that, as well. Because the actual shit was contagious, so I would check that out. I don't even know if I seen that one.
No, I haven't seen it.
I'm not sure. I may have. You know how there be so many movies will be in like the zeitgeist that you don't see it, but you think you saw it. You know right. what I mean? Like I'd never seen Candyman until what, 2 weeks ago, and I feel like I seen Candyman. I get the gist. I know what it is. I know the horror. I know don't say this five times. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'd never seen this shit until just recently, and it was all right. But yeah, man.
Yeah, so get your shit together.
Get your shit together. Figure it out, man.
Get your plan, your water and your food, and you know what I'm saying? Your
this is the kicker at the
your quarantine kit.
It's the kicker at the crib disease. You know what I mean? Go get you some Postmates situation, rewatch Contagion, bundle up and stay cool.
Or is it the conspiracy of, you know what I'm saying, moving everything virtual?
Maybe, maybe.
All these concerts are getting canceled.
You know what?
They about to play basketball games to empty arenas.
You saw LeBron ain't playing.
Nah, he had it misconstrued. He got it together.
He had a who?
He had it misconstrued.
Oh,
he wasn't briefed on
what he made another. Really
yeah, he made another. He was like, he'll listen. He wouldn't be excited about playing to an empty gym because he plays for his fans and his loved ones. But.
He was talking like that meme. You know that meme that they got where he got the cigarette and the do-rag?
Oh, yeah.
That's how he would say. He said, look, I don't know about the rest of these motherfuckers, but I'm not running up and down that court if it ain't nobody in them stands. I play for my teammates, but I play for the people. If they know people, I'm chilling. I was like, oh, shit, Bron definitely going to get a call.
He got it. He got a call. He got that same call Snoop got.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. LeBron, Darius James.
is that his last name? His middle name?
I don't know his middle name. You know what I'm saying? We heard you was talking that shit.
Yeah.
You might want to rephrase that.
That shit come to your landline, even if you don't got a landline. That's how strong the call is. Shit is wherever you at, that shit coming through. Oh, man. What are we talking about, dude?
Oh, shit.
What else is going on, dog? What the fuck is going on? You see the little baby, the baby gate? Not little baby, but the baby.
The baby. Yeah.
I don't get all the way into it because, I mean, a lot of this shit is happened, just for though? The... So, the baby was going through the crowd at one of his events. And somebody put the iPhone, or young woman, I believe, or a woman, for sure. I'm not sure. I don't know who she was, but a woman put the iPhone, I guess, trying to, you know, get a little footage. Mm-hmm. And her shit got a little too close. I think it looked as though not only is your iPhone, she had the iPhone with the flash on. You know, that that iPhone flashlight is pretty strong. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the shit, it hits him in the face. Now, I don't know how hard, but this man reacted with a Hadouken. You know what I mean?
Oh, Duken, pow!
And it didn't look good because it was a woman on the other end of that. It was the beginning of Women's History Month. It was, you know, it just optically, it wasn't the look.
Right. That most definitely.
It wasn't the look optics-wise. And then, hopefully, people going back and forth on, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what stood out to me more about anything... Because you know, the optics look crazy. But what stood out to me more than anything is I guess the baby wanted to get in ahead of this and apologize for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I've noticed this phenomenon. It's probably about maybe two, maybe three so far.
Mm-hmm.
The in-bed apology. I don't understand what the fuck is going
on. Didn't you just say you get the car wherever you at? He got the call.
Yeah, but when you get the call, you got to straighten up your pot. You can't be the first, because maybe just because of who I am, I always get defensive if somebody call me at any time of the day. They be like, you sleeping? No, I'm good, because I feel like I'm not doing what I need to do.
Right.
But the leisurely in-bed apology with the sleep still in your voice.
Where's the rapper going to be if he ain't on the stage in the studio?
And they can do it in the studio at the console.
He got the emergency call, nigga. You got to get ahead of this, man. What you gonna do? And he like, all right, let me.
How often?
And then the baby himself being the nouveau sex symbol that he is, it kind of fits. It's like if Billy D. Williams had to issue an apology and then he did it in the bed, it might come over pretty cool.
I even thought about that. I ain't looking at it like a sex symbol, but I'm like, at what point do you apologize in bed? I'm like, maybe, you know, some makeup sex, you know what I mean? Or maybe you on your deathbed. Those are the two times where it's like, yo, I'm a sorry from the bed. Seems to be the most valid. Because my thing is, your relaxation is almost belying your sincerity.
And I think that was the point.
So it was
I watched his apology. I think that was the point. Like, listen, you know what I'm saying? First and foremost, he apologized. And I think out of all the apologies, he did a decent job at, you know what I'm saying, getting it all out. He offered to fly the person out to apologize in person.
You get flued out, right? Nigga, I'm in the bed talking about you can get flued out. That don't sound like an apology. That sound like some DM talk.
Nah, you can get flued out. I apologize in person. Or we could do it in private, however you want to do it. You know what I'm saying? But that's on the table. All right.
You can get flued out.
Yeah.
However you're trying to do this.
I think his whole demeanor towards it was kind of dismissive, but yet sincere.
And it can't be both.
I'm just saying.
How that happened?
Because it's like your mama telling you, you know what I'm saying? This whooping gonna hurt me more than it hurt you. It's the same type of deal.
I told your ass.
There's some shit to say. But it might not be all the way sincere.
You see, I put hands on these fans. You should have known better. So, that's what it felt like.
Because that's what he was like. He was like, listen, you know what I'm saying? I could not see who was on the other end of the phone because all of the lights, which is valid. You know what I'm saying? Which is fair. You know? You got the lights, especially if the light was close enough to you to hit the motherfucking head. That's way too close for an iPhone light. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Take the light off the phone first off.
Right, but you can't get your shot if you ain't got the light.
No, because the light, the flashlight and the actual camera, they don't work together. I believe even when you take a photo, I think the flashlight goes at the flashlight something different. There's a flash.
On some phones, it's something for the video because I see it all the time.
Okay.
When I'm shooting, there's always some people in the audience shooting with lights on their camera. That's just constant, not like a flash. So it might not have been an iPhone, but whatever it was, it was close enough to hit the motherfucker in the head, which means that light is brighter than the motherfucker in a motherfucker face. Now, okay, so he's like, listen, I couldn't see who it was, and you know me, you know what I'm saying? My reaction to getting hit is to hit back. I got security, but I'm the type that I really like to get my hands dirty in that regard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I like to feel the love.
You're not going to violate me without getting violated, is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? I apologize, but next time, you know what I'm saying? Keep your phone at a distance where it ain't going to hit me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he's like, if I knew it was a woman, I would have did it again. I think that's where he kind of ran off the rails. Like, you just, all right. You know, that's when the lawyer should jump in. Stop it. Get right.
That's when you're too relaxed.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? You just improv it at that point because your body is too relaxed. You need to be standing up so you can think a little straighter.
But in the thing about it is being in that position, you know what I'm saying? Any of those, just like you said with the comedians, you know what I mean? And you know, people coming up wanna, you know, shake hands and hug and all that. You know, nobody wants to get hit. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to get hit. A regular person don't want to get hit. I don't want to get hit with a phone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You trying to shoot me. You know what I mean? I shoot with a big old camera and I don't want to hit nobody. You know what I'm saying? I try to stay enough distance away not to hit a motherfucker. So, you know, it's respect that has to happen on both ends. And these people who deal with that shit day in and day out, I mean, I guess it's a certain line. Just like when Jay-Z snatched the phone from the nigga. And you know what I'm saying? This happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where you cross the line and you get lumped up sometimes.
I'm not even, like I said, that I'm not even really dwelling on. That played out, however that played out. We could talk about who agrees with whatever. I'm just talking about
the bare room of politics.
Yeah, just don't see it working out. I think Kevin Hart tried to do the Cabana apology, the very relaxed, and that shit, there was a lot of pushback from that.
Right. But did the baby get pushback for the bare room?
I don't think
it fits his brand.
Is he a lethargic performer?
No, I think like if Tupac did a bedroom fucking apology, I think it would go over. Tupac could do a bathroom apology. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's at that kind of rapper.
I feel like there's a little bit more etiquette in the apology. I just think I think the extreme is the podium, but at the least, it's just setting up right.
No doubt, no doubt. All. But when you're a celebrity that's used to addressing your fans, especially in this age,
I'm old fashioned.
Yeah, no doubt. In this age, these artists are letting these fans into their world in unprecedented ways. You know what I'm saying? So you are with some of these people in their bedroom, in their mirror, in their cars, in their, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of places where you're at with these people that you would never have been just in regular life. You know what I'm saying? You could look at people on the Instagram. They all over the place. Back in the day, you had to really put in work to get in somebody's bedroom and see them doing some shit, talking to the public. You couldn't do it. You had to put in some work.
So you
had to have a real official situation.
So you said this is a privilege to get this relaxed ass apology.
I think it is a norm.
Let me ask you a question. If somebody tapped you in your eye, dotted your eye.
Bow.
You know what I mean? It was a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it caught you. Bow. Mm-hmm. You holding your eye. You got ice your eyes, matter of fact. And you see this man sit down.
This man FaceTime me.
This man FaceTime you from the most comfortable place in this apartment. This motherfucker's right. Full recliner.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, no, not even via FaceTime. He's still on the scene.
Oh, you're on the scene.
But he sat down. It was in the living room. He sat down on your recliner off to the side. Linked the shit back. Ha ha. Linked it all the way back. Looked up at you. Said, hey, yo, man. My bad about tapping you in your eye like that. I ain't mean to do that. Now, he in a very relaxed position, chilling. Do you not feel a little bit in your mind? I'd have tapped this nigga. I'd have swing on this motherfucker. He ain't got the decency to at least get up in a prone position and give me the fucking body language that I deserve. That look apologetic, nigga. You look too relaxed to be sincere. Is what I'm saying.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I might be old fashioned.
I don't know, dog. I don't know the apology pros. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck? How do you supposed to look? You supposed to cow down, bend over. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I even said all of that. Just don't look
relaxed.
Yeah, just don't. Yeah,
I think I may have been guilty of not apologizing, but just living life too relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In situations where motherfuckers feel like you supposed to do a certain thing a certain way, and then you just doing it at your. You're doing it at a high level, but at your leisurely look. You know what I'm saying? You're looking like, shit, this is easy. People don't want to see it look easy, but you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it is. People don't want to see your apology laid back, but shit, hey, man, I'm laid back with this shit, man. I done worked motherfucking 17 hours, flew to 3 different states, did 4 shows, man, I'm in this bed. Shit, nah. You hit me. Yeah, damn it.
No, I didn't hit you. hit me.
No, she hit the button. She hit him with the phone.
No, but you apologize. Like, I called you at the inopportune time. My thing is, look, if it's apology time, just make that shit look apologetic is all. I'm not saying you got a bended cowtail. All I'm saying, it ain't even got to be that. It just got to look like, let me get out of my slumber.
It depends on the offense. Now, if it was a full-on assault and you were really, you know what I'm saying, wrong in your shit, you caused it, you are the aggressor, you might need to do a press conference. You know what I'm saying? Some shit, you might need to drop a tear. You know what I'm saying? So you can't apologize for like battering your spouse laid back in the bed.
That ain't gonna fly.
You might need to come with some crocodile tears.
I told you my two caveats for a non-upright apology. You know what I mean? Everything else, I feel like, stand up. You know what I'm saying? Nigga,
step on your J's.
Yeah.
What's the apology position for that?
My bad. You know what I mean?
That's immediate. That's immediate.
Low on the threshold, but absolutely.
But like, nigga, step on your J, but he's about to sit down. He step on your J's.
Apologize before you sit down.
And then he's in his seat.
Nah.
You're like, oh shit, my bad.
Nah. It's not selling it the same. If you just stepped on my shit and then you sat down, crushed your legs, and got comfortable and said, hey yo, my bad.
Why you gotta sniffle though? Why you gotta?
Because that's what I hear. I felt like you.
Like, that's the disrespect right there. That's a. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, the disrespect was to sit down and get comfortable. It don't even got it. I just gave you the sniff because it's coronavirus.
The sniff is, nigga, whatever. That's like, even if a nigga was standing up and he stepped on your J's, and then you look at him like, goddamn, dog. He like, my bad. You still going to feel some kind of way.
Yeah. Because I don't, again, I don't believe the sincerity.
The sniff is aggressive. It's a passive aggressive move.
So let me ask you a question. So you saying the sniff is more aggressive than a full recline?
The sniff is disrespectful.
Than a full recline.
It's more disrespectful than the full recline.
Now we gotta take that to the comments.
If the nigga do a full recline and a sniff, ooh. See, the sniff is almost fighting words.
The sniff is definitely fighting words, but the recline is saying you ain't no threat. I'm going to get in the prone position and say, hey, yo, all that shit that I just, look, man, don't even worry about it, fam.
Me too. Ooh.
I'm mad you feel, you know, my bad, you all.
There's a lot of aggressive words.
Of course.
That you cannot use in an apology.
Yeah.
My man, B.
Oh, man.
Sniff, any kind of spitting.
I mean, the spit ain't even an apology.
You know what I'm saying? Any of that type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
I mean, aggressive communication is a hard place to navigate sometimes, especially with black folks.
Yeah.
We got silent aggression that.
No, but you know what? We do navigate it just like we navigate them handshakes.
We do.
You can feel the vibe.
You
I can see. I've seen you've. I'm definitely probably been in this situation where you could go from aggressive to respectfully apologetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And just off of nigga, you know right. what? Fair right. enough. You know what I mean? Like it's still a little bit of tension in there, but it's like, you know what? I'm wilding. You know what I mean? I'm not going to bend to it, but I'm going to bring the tone down just a bit. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to relax my hands. I'm going to bring my hands back down to waist level. Say, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
My bad, fam. You know what I'm saying? You know what? That was me. You know what I'm saying? Whatever
right.
what it is.
Right.
Let me get the fuck out of here.
Right. No doubt.
Take it easy.
No doubt. And it's all of those things, you know what I'm saying? Women got a lot of aggressive moments in their, you know what I'm saying, situations with their eyes and their necks and their, you know what I'm saying, or whatevers, or like, you know what I'm saying, vocabulary words. It's a lot that play into your aggressive tactics.
Oh, yeah.
Even when it's non-aggressive situation, it's just like, I'm going to apologize, but... You're gonna realize this is a non-apology apology.
This is still subliminal.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'd be the best sometimes. Like you know, if you got people like my mom's, she could get somebody right in a way that don't sound as aggressive as if you looked at the transcript, you'd be like, God damn.
Right.
But the delivery was a little, it wasn't misleading. It was nuanced enough.
Right.
To where it kind of flew under the thing. And you had to be looking for those choice words.
Right.
Like, ooh. that was fucked up right there.
And see, sometimes people got the choice words that you know they are restraining themselves.
Oh yeah.
They are definitely holding themselves back from being off your ass by the word choice, and they choose the words very specifically to let you know. I could be on your ass.
Yeah, but
today I'm not on your ass. I'm gonna let this slide. And then, you know what I'm saying? It was my bad per se. But
yeah, see, that's that bullshit. Those defensive apologies. Oh man. What else is going on? You see, Rihanna, the Fenty brand, opened up a TikTok house.
That's dope.
That is very creative.
I mean, I always said that Rihanna's best talent was keeping people's attention.
Mm.
Wasn't her singing.
Mm-hmm.
She is who she is because she can keep people's attention day for day. And for her as a brand to invite the people who keep people's attention into her space and into her world, you know what I'm saying? Basically under her, but representing
mm-hmm.
her brand and giving them a space to do that is brilliant.
Yeah, it was a good one.
You know what I'm saying? That's next generation shit. You know what I'm saying? Because those are the people that keep people looking. The TikTokers. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, these kids are dead addicted to that shit. My daughter watched TikTok like it's TV.
Yeah.
Like, what you doing? I'm watching TikTok.
On the app?
Yeah.
On the phone?
Okay. Yeah, I'm watching TikTok.
So like, TikTok like scrolls into the next one and the next one,
yeah,
like that?
It's like Vine. It's like any of all this other shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know what I mean? When they talk about screen time and, you know, stealing eyeballs from here and there,
because mm-hmm.
everybody's fighting for everybody's attention.
Yep.
And if TikTok is gathering up a bunch of attention, it might be in little short clips, but if they're not watching Netflix because they're watching TikTok, they are valuable. And if Rihanna's able to cultivate all the valuable content creators, she always stay winning. That means she can keep people's attention, whether it's her or whether it's the other 5,000 content creators that's doing it.
Mm.
She's never losing.
It was smart. It's like the social media version of the Carter. You know what I mean? Let's cook this crack here. Do that shit in front right. of the logo. You know right. what I mean? Let's get it cracking. I'm not mad at it. It was smart. It was definitely a good, I never seen a personal brand do that. I've noticed, like, you know, YouTube is good for that type of thing where they create just basically a studio right. for all these people that's out there, YouTubers, whatever. She was like, yo, that's, I like that. I like the foresight on that shit. I definitely see that TikTok shit cracking. I've been watching these, the flip the switch right. TikToks. You been seeing those?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them.
I've seen, I think the Elizabeth Warren one, sad to say, I think the Elizabeth Warren one was like a week too late. I hate to say, like, if, no, it was funny.
I didn't even see it.
Oh, she did one with Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, who plays her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, you know, to flip the switch. But basically, they both got the same shit on. Mm-hmm. And she's looking like Elizabeth Warren, and it flips the switch. And then Elizabeth Warren is dancing to the Drake record and shit. And, you know, she's kind of getting into it a little bit. And it's cool. And it's probably the coolest shit. I fucked with Elizabeth Warren. I liked that she had, like, nice little barbs. You know what I mean? Nice little couplets and shit. She was almost like a battle rapper at those fucking those debates. She got in Bloomberg ass, hey, crazy, and she chopped up Bernie. She chopped a few people up. She had some quotables, but it wasn't enough. But I felt like, especially in this society now, if that shit wouldn't have come out like a week or two ago, she might still be in contention. This is what people vote at. This is the silly shit that people are like, you know what? You know what I mean? This is the equivalent of Bill playing the sax.
That's why we got Trump.
Touch the culture. Yeah, get in there. Get you know. That's really what it all boiled down to. But anyway. Oh, shit. What's up, man? What else is going on?
The switch. I don't know nobody else is doing this. Hey, everybody on Megan Thee Stallion ass this week.
Still? About this the contract shit?
Well, got the contract shit, but then it was She, I don't know where her grades got, but I think she may have rapped about her grades.
Oh, she said it in an interview. She was saying she got like a 2.7.
2.7.
Yeah.
And people were acting like she was failing.
Yeah, she ain't doing good.
Nigga, to have a whole fucking rap career.
Yeah, she still ain't doing good.
Fuck that. Yeah, she's doing great. Nigga, 2.7 is still a B. What the fuck out of here?
You only saying that because she's a rapper. That's like Jordan playing baseball.
Nah, kid. Nah. She's going to graduate. She's going to graduate.
I got a 2.9 my first semester, and it was almost a problem. First of all, because
you was on scholarship?
I had a scholarship situation, or like a partial.
So who was it a problem for?
One, it was a problem from the people that was giving me some money because they expected a little bit more.
Right. Nobody giving her no money.
I'm not saying. Go ahead. I'm not.
Go ahead, though.
First of all, what I'm saying, and you arguing my point, the only reason that that niggas ain't tripping or like saying, yo, that's a decent GPA, is the fact that she's a successful rap artist. So all of this college shit, this is gravy. It's cool. It's a wrinkle in the conversation. It's Lil Wayne going back to college. It's fucking Nick Cannon going to Howard. That shit is cool. It's a nice conversation only because the motherfuckers is already successful. They've won at life. So the fact that they doing that shit is some afterthought shit. That's like you going fucking doing the painting and the drinking. You know what I mean? That's about as serious as you taking this shit. If you a motherfucker that's trying to really win on some college shit and this is your only thing, a 2.7... is looking a little nervous compared to your competitive field. That's all I'm saying. Let's not act like it ain't what it is. Field,
though? Huh? Shit, I know niggas that was in college, didn't have no fucking 2.7 and ain't had no fucking job or no career. Them niggas was just getting through. And then niggas graduated and lived life and nobody never asked them what their GPA was.
But if they had asked them and said what it was, niggas would be like,
but that ain't really what you being judged on in real life after that. You just got to graduate from that bitch.
You proving my point. What's your point? Successful, none of that shit matter.
I mean,
her degree, even if she had a 3.9.
I'm not saying if you successful.
It wouldn't matter.
I'm saying if you got through college, you graduated with a 2.0, you got out that bitch. You know what I'm saying? And you went in the world and got yourself a job, you fucking did what you had to do. It's people that's in college right now that don't have no 2.7, man. At all. The bulk of these motherfuckers that's graduating ain't got that shit. Everybody ain't coming out cum laude and magna cum laude and shit.
I ain't saying all that. All I'm saying is
cum laude was what? 3.0?
I don't know.
See,
I didn't get
that shit ain't.
All I'm saying is let's not act like a 2.7 is all
that. I'm not saying that it's all that, but shit, for you to be holding down a full-time ass job and managing yourself, paying for your own college, that ain't no shit to be dragged on.
That's the point I just said.
That ain't your point.
No, that's
you said your point that ain't shit.
No, I said the only reason that it ain't that is because she got all this other shit. This whole going to college shit, man. Like I said before, it's cool. It's nice that you're doing that. It's, you know what I mean? I appreciate that you looking, you know what I mean, securing your future per se or doing the traditional thing. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you already successful at what you want to do.
Okay.
So the fact that you go in there, the stakes ain't the same.
But that ain't the point. The point ain't is if the stakes are the same. The point is that shit ain't no terrible shit to go to college and have a 2.7. You know what I'm saying? I pay for a motherfucker to go to college that ain't got no 2.7.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? And do I say, fuck it, I'm not paying for you to go to college no more, quit and stop, and I'm not going to pay for you to go to school? No. Motherfucker, finish. Finish that motherfucker. Get to the finish line, cross that stage, get your paper, and get out of here and get to the world.
Let me ask you this. Is that all you say, finish, or do you challenge? Do you say, hey, can you bring these up?
No, you definitely challenge.
That's all I'm saying.
Challenge, but I'm not finna say that ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? Get that shit, you know what I'm saying? It's certain shit that I'm not going to do. Of course, I'm not finna just finance mediocrity, but
that's it.
But if you doing what you got to do on your end and you go to work and you pay your own rent and all that shit, get out of there and get it done, man. That's it.
All I'm saying is,
we're not gonna do this for 6, 7, 8 years. You know what I'm saying? You got motherfucking 8 semesters, And then the rest of that shit on you. And if my son don't fucking finish in the time and he has to pay for his own shit and finish, so be it. Because at the end of the day, you know, when I graduated, it wasn't nobody paying for my shit. I got it done because I wanted to get it done. Just like she probably getting it done because she wanted to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Well, the point is, you can't convince me that mediocrity is not mediocrity. That's all I'm saying. Let's not treat mediocrity like that shit is cum laude. The fact that that's all I'm saying like that. And I understand why people are saying some shit, because there's actual college students that's they shit. They don't rap. They in college and they doing better than the 2-7 and they calling her on that shit. That's right, all.
There's people in college that don't rap, that don't do shit, that ain't got no 2-7.
No doubt. You know, and all I'm saying is mediocrity is mediocrity.
But see, sometimes what we look at as mediocrity in one space, that's not necessarily mediocrity because it's the number in these grades that you have, right? It's certain because I have three kids that's all across the spectrum of where they at in academics. You know what I'm saying? I got one that's all the way off the charts that, you know what I'm saying, you ain't never got to worry about his grades. I got one that's, you always got to worry about his grades, but he off the charts in other areas of his life. You see people in the workplace that's off the charts doing one thing and suck at a whole nother. So I can't gauge that my one kid is doing mediocre because of how he treats that certain thing, especially when you put him in situations where he's learning that, hey, your style, your learning style, the way you apply your learning may be a little different than the grade part of it. You know what I'm saying? When he's went to schools where that you don't even have grades, you know what I'm saying? So I can't judge him based off of that number. I judge him based off of his total effort on life, on work, on achieving the shit that he's trying to achieve.
I hear what you're saying, but I'll say this. One, I think as far as your children go, you bias. You know what I mean? Because you know your kids outside of the classroom, right? But if we looking at the grades, which are the metrics, people outside of a personal relationship with your child, mm-hmm, is going to look at it based on that. If I'm looking at, let's take it away from grades, if I'm looking at two NBA players, one scores, they average 11 points a game versus somebody that averaged 36 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking with the cat. The motherfucker that's doing 36 points a game is a little bit more sought after and probably a better star, probably a superstar, probably make the all-star game faster than the person that does 11 points a game. Now, if that person, there might be a coach out there that sees the potential in that 11-point person a game and maybe can get him to where he's a 36-point game. But if we're going to have to look at the metrics that's available and I got to rank these people, I'm going to rank you based on the fucking metrics that you give me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing in school and in life. It's not like you're talking about points and scoring in a basketball. That's a job. You know what I'm saying? That's where he makes his bread. That's where the money is being made. When you're talking about school, your money's not being made per se, unless your money is scholarships, is not based on just those grades. You know what I mean? When you graduate, when I graduated college, no one asked for my grades ever again. You know what I'm saying? Nobody cared that I was, you know what I'm saying, whatever, cum laude, nobody cared. It was, can you do this job? You know what I mean? And that's the thing that you have to be able to differentiate, especially, again, when you got across, when you're looking at it across the board. Even if I take my kids out of it, even when, you know what I'm saying, you hiring people or you're bringing in people into your space to do work for you, what you made in school never mattered. Even when it was internship programs and they was coming from college and they were still in school, that wasn't the thing. The thing was, were you able to think? Were you able to apply knowledge to this work? And, you know, so I don't put a whole lot of emphasis on what that GPA number is as opposed to your overall across the board ability to apply knowledge to fucking business.
Mm.
And even I tell my son, who's off the charts, who gets all of the grades, who gets all of the accolades, who gets all of the things, because you can see it in a quantifiable way that he's doing well, per se. You have to then apply that shit to work and life in order for you to do okay in the world. And that's all I try to stress. But again, with Meg, it was like that's still not nothing to drag her about, because most people wouldn't even fucking do what she doing as far as going to school.
Yeah, because they winning. Niggas winning already. So I dig it. Like I said, again, I don't want to reduce it to it being a novelty, but it's easier to have a 2-7 when you're already winning than it is to where this is what you're trying to win on. You know what I mean? If this is what you're trying to do. Now, we can get as far back to what you're saying as far as grades are subjective and all of that, but oftentimes, and even which what you said, more often than not, you ain't going to realize that shit till you out of college, till you not performing in that in those parameters. But right. While you there, while you playing that game, you playing the rules of the game.
Right.
While you there, while you competing, while you being graded, there is the hierarchy from A to F.
Right.
And you know, C ain't never been better than A. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm saying.
But one of the things that I do see, just even coming up as a kid, and I notice, because again, I made good grades, you know what I'm saying? But I also saw a teacher in third grade be like, you know what I'm saying, you don't pass this class, you don't pass this test, you won't pass this class, you don't pass this class, you'll never get no good job in the future, right? And then I seen people close to me just give up because they felt like, give up on the school process because they felt like, well, if I don't do good here, then I ain't gonna never do good, then fuck it. You know what I'm saying? And some of them cats ain't make it to high school, you know what I'm saying? Which, you know what I'm saying, a lot of them went straight to penitentiary, you know what I mean? Then some of them just got through school, didn't really give a fuck because it was never a place where somebody said that, hey, you know what I'm saying, get through this, get to the next thing. You know what I mean? It's not the rest of your life because you made a C. You know what I mean? If you're a C student, that means you're going to automatically not have a place in this world. There's a place for everybody, but you have to find what it is that you can be an A plus at. You know what I'm saying? And some of those A plus people in other things are outpacing the A plus students that was in school because they had to apply that shit to real shit and not just the system of, you know, these numbers.
Yeah, it always has. There's always an exception to the rule. I'm just saying that, you know, if the optics are what they are, you can't blame the people for recognizing or seeing it or calling it how they see it. You know what I mean? Like if you looking at it, if you playing the game. So instance, I'll apply it to comedy, right? Mm-hmm. So Wednesday night, I'm like, all right, I got three jokes that I want to work out. You know what I mean? Comic before me is crushing. You know what I'm saying? Ha, killing. I'm like, damn. Fuck, I should probably go with my A material because I want to crush too. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, nah, nigga, I came out here, it's raining and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking 11:50. The whole thing was I wrote these three jokes. I want to try this shit in front of an audience. And it is what it is. I might sandwich in between some jokes that win, but it's going to be what it's going to be. I do the three jokes and I get, you know, somewhat of a response. They not smacking because they knew, but they getting some engagement. This joke got a laugh. That joke kind of got a, ooh, this joke, whatever. Mm-hmm. To me, mission accomplished, right? Now, if you ask the people at the show, yo, what you think of the comics? Well, that one guy was fucking hysterical. That other guy, I ain't dig it. It wasn't that funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's theirs to process.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get mad at the fact. I can't run back and be like, yo, I saw this as a Wednesday. I wanted to do this. The context is, you know, I'm trying to do new material. Let's say the Saturday, blah, 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 blah. All of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is null and void to the person that saw what they saw. They judge it based on what they saw. Their experience with you. Mm-hmm. And it didn't measure up to what they felt was great.
Now, do you get caught up in that?
No.
Exactly, because you got a goal that you're trying to get to, right? You got to produce the next content that you need to produce, so you're going to work it out. You're not trying to just kill for this moment. You're trying to work out something where you can kill at a bigger level.
But I do not invalidate anybody's opinion. That's all I'm saying, because right. You were like, they shouldn't drag her.
I didn't say they shouldn't anything. I was like, that's nothing to be dragged about.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that's nothing to be dragged about. I didn't say what the fuck they should do or shouldn't do, because the internet do what it do. I'm just saying that ain't nothing to be dragged about.
Right.
That's my point. It's like, shit, that motherfucker doing a whole lot of shit that, you know what I'm saying, is commendable in the way of getting work done, getting to the money, accomplishing some goals that she wanted to accomplish, you know what I'm saying, that she had already started before she started popping. Shit, that ain't nothing to be dragged about. Yeah. That ain't a drag-worthy motherfucking event to me.
I can understand why people be like, a 2-7 ain't shit. I can understand that. That's all I'm saying. I can understand that.
And people say that about anything. They be like, whatever the fuck anybody doing ain't shit.
That's what grades are for. That's what grades do. That's what grades do. They define based on performance.
But they don't.
In their context, they do.
What do they define?
If you in college,
mm-hmm.
and you got a scholarship to maintain, right? Let me finish. You got a scholarship to maintain, and you get under the GPA that you're supposed to get, you get your scholarship taken away.
Right, but what if you ain't got no scholarship?
Those are the rules of the game. But that's back to my point. The reason that this shit ain't really much is because this is, and again, not to reduce it, the stakes are not as high. I don't want to say this is an afterthought, but the stakes are not as high because Meg is already winning as an artist.
Let's take Meg out of the equation, right? And we at fucking Clark.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's one motherfucker that got a motherfucker 3.9, killing shit. His scholarship, his whole shit paid for, all that shit.
Right.
You got another motherfucker who pay for their own shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Go to work or whatever, sell weed or whatever they do to pay for their shit. They pay for their own shit and they got a motherfucking 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Graduation day come. You know what I'm saying? Both of them walk across the stage. You know what I mean? One gonna walk across first with the cum laude, whatever, shake the president's hand. 2.5 motherfucker gonna walk across, shake the president's hand. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, they got out that shit, both of them. Now they got to get to the world and make shit happen.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's the point. That's the line of delineation. When they in the world, they not performing no more. It's like, nigga, if you make all your money when you get out the league, you know what I mean? You could have been a bum. Or maybe.
But college ain't the
league. Let me finish. No, the college is the league. Because while you're there, you're being judged based on your performance and scholastically your performance. If you a B student versus or a C student versus a B student, the B student is ranked higher than the C student while we in that.
And what does that ranking get you?
It depends. Who knows? This is all, it's all subject, it's all, but in that right. moment, in that moment, that ranking got your shit paid for.
Right.
But that's the luxury.
Never getting paid for.
But that's the luxury.
If not.
That's the luxury of having good grades, because you ain't got to pay for your shit. So, and that's the luxury of paying for your own shit, because if you pay for your own shit, then you got the ability to get a 2.5, because you ain't looking to nobody else to validate what you doing in college.
And I paid for my own shit. And I got decent grades, man.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 point something. And I got out that bitch. Nobody paid for my shit. I ain't had no scholarships. Nobody was enforcing me even staying there or graduate. You know what I'm saying? Nobody was saying, hey, man, graduate, da 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 da. It was, you got to do it because you want to do it. You know what I'm saying? You got to do it because you see it as a part of what you're doing.
Of course.
And at the end, when I walked, I didn't give a fuck what nobody else had, really. You know what I'm saying? I think it was plenty of people that had all of the more tassels and shit and shook their hand, shook the president's hand and sat on stage. Some gave their own little speech, whatever. None of that really mattered. Just like, to me, that's probably why I feel the way I feel about it, that it ain't nothing to be dragged about, is because my whole point on all this shit is everybody got their own little race to run. And the only motherfucker that could judge your race is you, because you know what's your goals at. Some people's goals ain't the same. And know when I learned that shit? I learned that shit while I was at FAM, right? And I was in the computer lab. And it was this girl. And, you know, I was trying to holler at her and shit. And I was like, I was in the engineering lab because that's the only lab that had a Mac in it outside of the journalism lab. And the journalism lab was always crowded. So engineering students, none of them used Mac. So the Mac just was always empty. So I was in there on the Mac like, shit, boom. Then I was like, damn, what's your major? And she was like, I'm engineering. And I was like, what you want to do? She was like, I want to be a mother. I'm like, what? Why the fuck? Like, why the fuck is you in engineering? She was like, my parents wanted me to be an engineering major. But you know what I'm saying? In real life, I really just want to get married, have some kids. And you know what I'm saying? Shuttle them around and, you know what I'm saying, take them to school, cook for them and shit like that. And I had never heard nobody say that as an aspiration. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit blew my whole fucking shit and changed the way I thought about everything. Because it's like, for real, you decide what you want to be. Period. Whether that's just a mom or fucking Puff Daddy or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Usually you just think about striving and getting more and more and more and going higher and higher. Sometimes you just want to be a certain motherfucking thing and that's it. And I think the people that feel most successful are the people that said they wanted to do some shit and they did it, however the fuck it came out. Those people usually have a smile on their motherfucking face about that shit. And that's how I see it. Once at that moment, I started to see shit differently than everybody had this same goal of outpacing or being the best or getting the highest, you know? So for me, I just felt like I'm just looking at somebody who's doing something they want to do because they want to do it and they getting through it. You know, she ain't got no 1.5 or no shit. She not flunking out and on probation. She getting through it. She going to walk and get her paper.
I think we're beating the dead horse at this point. Look, there ain't nobody asked to see my degree since I've been, since I've been out of college. I think
you just dismissed my whole.
No, I just think we go.
Fuck what you're saying with degrees. Because
we keep going in the circle. I'm still where I'm at with it. 2.7 is a 2.7 no matter how you look at it. That's all I'm saying. And if we judge it within the context of GPAs, this is a C. You know what I'm saying? It's not as good as a 3.8 if we judge it in that. You know what I mean? Now, if you got a 2.7 and you also got 3 platinum singles, it's different than a motherfucker with a 2.7 who trying to hold on to a scholarship. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying the stakes are different. You could be a little bit more lax when the stakes aren't as high. You know what I mean? When you already, like, even your homegirl at the computer lab, she had a realization as to what she wanted to do, and she was committed to it. She kind of knew where she wanted to be. Mm-hmm. There's some clarity to that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? A lot of people don't have no clarity, especially when they're in college. And to your homegirl's point, a lot of people are going to college because it's the thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're going to college to satisfy somebody else. So when you're going to college, oftentimes to satisfy somebody else, they want to hear about what's up with them grades. Yeah. And there's a difference in response when you report back a 2.7 as opposed to a 3.9. That's all I'm saying.
But there's some grown people out here that ain't got nobody to report to.
Yeah, you know, shit.
And 2.7 is a B.
This niggas with the 3.9 and the coronavirus and the 3.9 ain't as much of a priority right now.
Yeah, exactly. They ain't even holding class.
Motherfuckers' lungs is got fibrosis.
3.9 ass ain't even got to go to class now because they class is canceled.
Look at that. Oh, shit. What you want? You going to talk about anything before we get out of here, man?
You calling the out?
Man, look, what you got anything? What else is going on? Talk to me, man.
Hold on. Let me see. What's cracking out here? Shit. This shit all sounds fucking trivial after saying you got anything else, it's time's up.
Nah, it's all good. We're rocking out. It is what you know. You know where we at with the time marker. You know what type of fucking shit we do.
The clock. What?
Oh yeah, we in there. We about an hour 10 in.
Okay.
So shit. I mean, if you want, you got anything else you want to talk to the people about? You feel anything?
I mean, I ain't got nothing important. I mean, I got.
It's
shit.
All subjective.
It's all subjective. You know what I'm saying?
This next topic could be a 2-7 or a 3-9.
I mean, it could be a 1-0. I don't give a fuck.
There you go.
If I talk about it, I wanted to talk about it.
There you
it,
go, because you committed to it.
Right. So I think somebody might be able to get something from this next topic.
How you doing out there with this no plastic bag? Have you been asked out yet?
Nah, see, I'm ahead of the curve. Not me personally, but my wife is a bag collector.
Oh, yeah.
She been on the bring your own bag game for the last 10 years.
So your wife is a bring your own bag to the spot.
Oh, my wife got bags upon. I call her bag lady.
You need to ask her about her doomsday plan. She sound like she got a plan.
She prepared. So when that day came, you know what I'm saying? I got bags to unfold from all. I got bags everywhere, dog.
But you mindful enough to bring the bags with you? Because
I'm going to go get some shit. If I just show up impromptu at a spot, I just buy the bag. You know what I'm saying? The 5-cent shit. The shit that tripped me out was last night. I was in the bodega.
Uh-huh.
I see the bodegas got the game twisted. They ain't got the same rules as Target and places like that.
They just off the strength. If they fuck with you, they're going to give you a bag.
Well, nah. I went in the bodega to get some shit last night. Boom, boom. Three, four things. Motherfucker rang me up and looked at me. I'm like, damn. I got too much shit to carry in my hands.
Mm-hmm. He didn't even ask you what your plan was.
He wasn't even thinking, but he was like,
should have known.
And then I was like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all ain't got no bags or nothing? He was like, you could pay for it. I was like, damn, nigga, just say the shit. God damn, I need a bag.
He treated it like a Lucy.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm not going to just tell you I got them shits if you inquire.
Exactly. And then the nigga pulled out a plastic bag. I'm like, nigga, you was in violation anyway.
Oh, it's supposed to be a paper, right?
Yeah, you ain't even supposed to be having no plastic bags no more.
Yeah.
You in violation, they ain't going to charge me for the violation.
Is that what you told
him? Nah. I mean, luckily, he ain't charged me, and then I fuck with him.
Oh, that's what's up. Well, look at that. That's how it's been. Yes, now, I almost look at that as respect.
He know he got to get rid of them plastic bags.
And I'd rather a plastic bag over a paper bag.
Because you fuck up the universe.
Maybe. I mean, look, this I'm not responsible for this entire universe.
I mean,
I didn't even know I had that.
You play your part.
I play my part, but you know what shit.
Man? Don't be mediocre with the bags, nigga.
Nah, man, look. I paid the nickel. So whatever fucking harm I did, that nickel should cover it.
Mm-mm.
Nickel cover my footprint.
No.
It ain't even a footprint. If I put the nickel down, that dusted away. Ah, shit.
Nah, shit, man. I've been on my, been thinking about my productivity lately. Saying trying to get better at staying focused, you know what I'm saying? And you know, in this age of new media and
distraction
screens and distractions, and you know what I'm saying, access to information and people's access to you, it's a lot of distractions. So sometimes I had to figure out ways of staying focused. And, you know, so I had to kind of think about that shit. Like, you know, what are my tools to stay fucking focused and shit? You know what I'm saying? Do you have tools to stay focused?
Tools to
just
stay
like
focused?
Tricks that you do to yourself to get back on track.
To get back on track. Some tricks I do.
Stay creative.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shit.
You got to write jokes and shit. How do you stay focused?
How do I stay focused? Shit, I just know that's the job. You know what I mean? Like, the job is to you know, they ain't got to get ready if you stay ready, right? So it just becomes the work. It's like, you build it into your schedule. You don't even give you the luxury of getting focused. Or even if you see it, like, I look at it like this. I say, because honestly, it's either you productive or you're not. You know what I mean? Like, that, if we're going to gauge it at the end of the day, it's either you did it or you didn't do it. So it's like, All right, trying to figure out what you need to do. And maybe it's just doing something that can be done to get you in the habit of doing shit. Sometimes you got to get some shit done to feel like you can do more. You know what I mean? So there might be that. There might be like, oh, shit. Maybe I don't feel like, I don't feel as inspired comedy-wise. I might be at a block, or I might not feel like, you know, I gotta, you know, maybe I haven't felt as connected to the shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna still do what I gotta do. I'm gonna still write, and I'm gonna still perform, and I'm gonna go through the motions. But at the same time, maybe I might take on like a project. Maybe I might say, yo, let me write a sketch, or let me shoot some shit, or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Because then if I get to the other side of something, that might give me a little bit more motivation to be like, well, at least you ain't full of shit. You ain't on some bullshit. Because, you know, sometimes when you get stuck, not only do you get stuck, but you define yourself by that stuck. You like, damn, you ain't shit. Man, it was bound to happen. You ain't never going to have no more ideas. It's, you know what I mean? Shit, I don't know how you got by this far. Fucking fraud. You know what I'm saying? Damn, so you got it.
You hard on yourself.
You got, sometimes, I'm trying not to be. To be totally honest, that was a little aggressive. That was more to be facetious. I can be, but I've told myself.
Sound like your inner self was laid in the bed telling you that.
No,
shit.
No, nigga,
laid
that
back like motherfucker.
Nah,
your ass ain't gonna be shit.
Nah, that was upright aggression. That motherfucker was talking down on me. He wasn't laying down. He was looking down on me, motherfucker. But you know, when you get into that shit, you just say, "Yo, I want to do X," or let me get to the other side of this. To know that I could do some shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there's that. If I'm trying to just jumpstart creativity or some shit, like, you know, I talked about this before. I like to go to a museum. Mm-hmm. I like to go to a museum just off the strength of, like, I go to an exhibition, and it could be whatever artist it is. The exhibition is from 1997 to 2014. Mm-hmm. The works of. And you look at this whole compendium of these works, and obviously, yeah, you know.
This nigga had a GPA.
I went to the museum. they do compendiums at the museum, you know. But you go there, you look at the whatever, the spectrum of this person's work or whatever, and some shit is dope, some shit is, I don't get that, or some shit you might be like, that shit is whack.
Right.
But they got the shit done. Yeah. So it also gets you out that the mind of being precious about every fucking thing you do.
Right.
You know what I mean? And also, like, back to the whole thing of, when you put that shit out in the world anyway, it ain't yours anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the shit that you thought was whack, people might come to your streets like, yo, they got love, such and such, da 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 da. Right. And you might feel kind of triggered, like, you trying to be funny?
Right.
I mean, what you think? You thought that, but you know, people's taste is they taste.
Right,
take it and keep it moving, because it's in the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's in the world, so that means it's in the done column. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to look at your column and be like, well, I got this done, I got that done. Back to, like, you know, and I decidedly, I was like, I was just saying this shit yesterday to somebody. I was like, yo, as hard on myself as I could be, at the same time, I'm making a point to audit the shit that I got to the other side of.
Mm-hmm.
To where I was like, yo, I said I'm going to do this, and I did that. I said I'm going to do this, and I did that. I'm still over here doing this, but I did do these things.
Right.
So I'm not out here bullshitting. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there that go. I remember back just on some old, I don't do this shit no more, but just if you want some shit that's performative, I remember back in college, going back to college, I was, anytime I felt like I was fucking up, or I was off point, I had to get my shit together, I would play Common's Resurrection album, particularly the record Resurrection, because I was looking at it like, you know, you got to come back from the dead, your shit is fucked up. Right. I would get like, if I'm in the midst of whatever new reinvention, that was the theme. It was like I would literally do some push-ups to that shit. Whatever the fuck. I'm going to play that shit a little bit just to get in the mind state of it ain't over.
Right.
You know what I mean? And go from there.
Right. See, and you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's tricks like that. Like for me, I be feeling like I got a lightweight ADD type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Where you might get too much input and your brain be moving all kind of places. And for me, I find like I have to put that shit in a cage. You know what I'm saying? So put all these thoughts into a cage and stop myself from moving to the next idea and the next idea so you could focus on one idea.
Yeah.
So like I would take like say music, right? Can't listen to nothing familiar. You know what I mean? Usually it's something either instrumental or fucking foreign where you can't even understand what the fuck they talking about. You just feel the vibe like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then put that bitch on repeat. You know what I'm saying? Once I catch the vibe, then I had to put the repeat on. And then that shit lock you into a certain space mm-hmm. to where it don't let you out of it until you want to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like a trance.
Right. So once you locked into a space and then you don't even know what kind of space you in because you ain't listening to the words. Now you just into your own zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could get all of that shit that you got in you out of you. And then you can finally release yourself. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that loop, a loop keeps me in check. You know what I'm saying? When I start, you know what I'm saying, going too far left or too far right, just put myself in a loop and then that shit will calm me and motherfucking get me on the right track.
Give an example of one of them records that you put on or one of them loop, one of them vibes.
I don't even be knowing the name. Hold on. Them shits be foreign. Like, a lot of times they be foreign, dog. It's a song called Don't Go Away by, what's his name? Bucky Leo.
How'd you find that?
I don't know. Just an Afrobeat song. But, like Afrobeat before, like, this new Afrobeat. It's like, you know what I'm saying? The high life type of Afrobeat. I don't know how I found that song, but I probably was looking for Afrobeat records back in the day, like Fela Kuti type of Afrobeats.
Mm.
And this song called Don't Go Away, when I was making the magazine, I would get out of focus, and then I found that song. That shit just had me in a fucking loop. And you end up listening to that bitch for 4 hours, and then you come out of it like, God damn, I've been productive than a motherfucker.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But that one is not, it's English language, so you can still understand it. But the of course, the tonality and the accents are different, so it gives you a different look on what you're looking at. But then it's another song from Brazil, and shit, I'm trying to find it in my phone, but it's a Brazilian song, and that shit is like sounds so happy as fuck. It sound happy, but it sound the beat is hard. You know what I'm saying? So it sound like some bunch of people in the village just getting to it. You know what I'm saying? I put that shit right there, have me hyped on one end, but then zoned in on the other because it feel like you got a whole bunch of people with you. You don't know what the fuck they talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But they with you. Whatever you trying to do, it feel like they with you.
They fucking with it.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to find the name of it, but it's a Brazilian joint. And then when I looked it up, the words, when I kind of did like a translation on the words, this was years later, I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And the words kind of fit exactly what I felt like they were saying. You know what I'm saying? It was like, don't give up, no matter how hard it get.
Right.
Keep it going. Right. You know what I'm saying? It was something like that, but in Brazilian. And they sound happy as fuck saying it. So it don't sound like, you know what I'm saying, no sad, like, don't give up. So you're like, nah, keep that shit going. Come on. All right. We got your back. Let's go. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Good energy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do shit like that. And it take you out of your normal thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Out of the news cycle, it just and you could start putting yourself in places, imagine yourself in places where you may have not imagined before. It's like, I don't even know what these people saying. I don't even know what this language is,
mm-hmm.
but it feel like another place than where I'm at. But it feel like we on the same mission.
Which is a good look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a friend of mine, shout out to my homie Relly. He sent me this link to a YouTube video. Basically, it's like 3 hours of study creative music. So mm-hmm. basically, it's just like instrumentals and just, you know, all types of shit. Because for me, If I put on music, I got to be careful about what type of music I put on, because if it's got lyrics, mm-hmm. I'm going to probably pay attention to the lyrics.
Right.
The lyrics need to be deliberately about what I need them to be about, i.e. resurrection. But if this shit is just some abstract rapping or singing and shit like that, I might get pulled into that as opposed to whatever I'm doing. So oftentimes I like to just have some background shit that I'm not even really attached to. It's just... Right.
Exactly.
It's just sound. I'll also say this, to follow up on that, just as you were speaking, I thought about this. This is it? What's the name of it?
It's called Sorriso Alberto.
That's the name of the person, or that's the name of the song?
Hold on. Oh, shit. I can't. Oh, shit. God damn it. Can't tell. It's...
You don't say the artist?
I mean, I don't know which one of the artists, niggas, is English.
Let me see, what's it say?
Brazilian. It's Portuguese.
Oh, Pagode Pra Valera. Or Pagode da Tia Doca.
See what I'm saying?
Y'all check that out.
Which one is the song?
I don't know.
Let me play a little bit.
I'll give him peace. That shit sound jumping. All right, cut it before we have to pay them cats.
The motherfuckers, who the motherfuckers, but the motherfuckers in the background be with you. Whatever they saying, they ride with you.
There's a lot of motherfuckers in that shit. Somebody send an invoice. They paid that shit over 30 seconds. Yeah, that's what's up. That's the rob. You should put that on the Facebook page or somewhere. Let the people be able to get into it. Or maybe hopefully they Shazammed it while you played that shit.
That shit was too quick. You cut it off so fast.
Hey, man. No, but you know, back to that shit, I say this to follow up. Not only, like, most recently, like I said, I go to the museum shit because they put out a bunch of shit, but just some shit that I look at,
mm-hmm.
and like particularly, like, just currently I look at Saturday Night Live,
mm-hmm.
I look at Supreme, mm-hmm. and you know, when they're in session, they gotta put some shit out week to week.
Right.
You know, it's a bunch of shit they put out. Either you fuck with it, it could be hits, it could be misses, it could be like, damn, I should have got that. Those shit's probably gonna look late. But it is they threw it at the wall, they put mm-hmm. it out there. It's a statement. Mm-hmm. This is what it is, this is what we created, this is for y'all to engage with. If you don't fuck with it, we got some more shit next week, and we keep going and we keep going. You know what I mean? They say with Saturday Night Live, it's like, it ain't done, it's just 11:30 p.m. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's this deadline. And the last thing, and I was about to put this shit, I might still put it on one of the grams or whatever, on the stories or whatever. I was listening to David Chang. Shout out to David Chang. He's a chef. He's behind Momofuku, you know, the noodle bar or whatever, and, you know, milk and all of that shit. But he got a podcast, and he also got a show on Netflix called Ugly Delicious that's popping. But he's got a podcast, and he had Jerry Saltz, who I want to say is the art editor at New York Magazine. I'm not sure if that title is right, but he's at New York Magazine. He's official. He's got a Pulitzer, all of that. There was a episode of his podcast back in February of last year where he's talking about creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're somebody that need maybe some inspiration or some encouragement or just a different way of looking at creativity or just to challenge yourself to be more productive, that's worth your time. Download that shit, because the way that man looks at the shit, it takes a lot of all the little contingencies and the barriers that a lot of people contend with. I think it's, if you're a creative and you blocked, or you're just a creative that need to be inspired or encouraged, I strongly recommend you fuck with that shit. I think it's a good conversation.
Word up.
And speaking of conversations, where you going to be this week?
I'm going to be here, man, Brooklyn.
Yeah?
Catch me on the ground.
Getting to it. Muhammad. I saw that on that recap video of the Zulu.
Oh yeah,
the Zulu ball. That shit look lit.
Yeah. We can post that.
Put that on your. Is it on the Mr. Muhammad?
I'm posted tonight. I'm gonna post it tonight.
Yeah. Give so it for the people. People live in quiet.
Yeah. It'll be here. You can check it out. You know what I'm saying? A little slice of their culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what it
Tried
is.
To represent it in a way that kind of gave you what I felt.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So I'll be on the ground. Catch me at Mr. Muhammad on Twitter at Mr. Muhammad.
Alright.
You know what I mean?
That's what's up. Where am I? Go to DamianLemon.com. I update it every Sunday with whatever dates I got coming up. I know for sure I'll be at Eastville Comedy Club on Sunday the 15th It may be some more shit between then and now. And that's where the updates come from. Also, if you didn't know, if you've been asking, we on Spotify. We're going to make a more formal announcement. Right. But we out there. So if you fuck with Spotify, you want to download it, offload it, and listen to it on the plane or whatever, we on Spotify. We on Apple Podcasts. We obviously on SoundCloud. We in these streets. We in these ear canals. And we in the conversation. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
We are out.
Conversation.